May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide. 904.
Thank you. let us read from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 15. Jeremiah, chapter 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord: the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting, and I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought unto them against the mother of the young man a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded. And the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife, and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel, thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto the people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant prayer. O Lord, mercifully look from the height of thy glory, from thy holy habitation, upon this little company, as together we are found around thy word. And an exceedingly solemn and searching word it is. We pray for that grace of reverence, a solemn sacred awe upon our spirit. We pray for that guidance of thy spirit, that leading forth in that right way. We thank thee for thy mercies. Truly thou hast been mindful and art daily we have cause to acknowledge it. Mercies strewn along life's pathway. We would adore thee, O most holy God, for the wonders of thy grace. For the precious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that eternal choice of a people to be formed for thyself, that shall show forth thy grace, show forth thy praise, wonders of redemption as revealed in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That work of thy Spirit, that movement upon the top of the mulberry trees, that consciousness that we're not our own, but bought with that price. O Lord, we would adore thee for thy grace and pray that the path of tribulation, distress and maybe discomfort may be richly sanctified for our soul's eternal good. O leave us not to murmur nor repine. Open our eyes, we pray thee, to behold those wondrous things contained in thy law. May there be continually that delving a little into the deep that coucheth beneath. O Lord, thou knowest, it is our ardent desire that at this evening hour we be not left to merely hover over the word, but there may be that which shall be revealed by thy Spirit. O Lord, we come with a burden. Our shoulders cannot bear it. We need sustaining grace. We pray amidst the perplexities that abound, there may be that opening up of the purposes of thy grace. Oh, may we never read such portions as have been read this evening and turn from them and in effect say hath no relevance to us or our day. Oh Lord, we do believe thy word is a living word. It is applicable in every generation amidst the evils that are practiced today. The sad declension, Lord, that is abroad throughout the land and in Zion. Oh Lord, have we not here a very picture of that condition that abounds? O Lord, instruct us. We do ask, Lord, that we may be given the grace of repentance and of godly sorrow, and may none e'er consider that they are above these things, but rather these things may be laid to heart and there be much weeping betwixt the porch and the altar. We pray thy blessing, Lord, upon this little company. Thankful, O Lord, for such indeed that do come out at the evening hour. We pray for them. O may they be given hearing ears and understanding hearts. May there be that thirst for those streams that make glad the city of our God. May there be hungry souls amongst us that wait upon thee, that thou wouldst open thine hand and satisfy those desires. We pray, Lord, for the furtherance of thy work within these walls, for the gathering in of the lambs and the sheep, feeding of thy flock in these dark and evil days. O Lord, let there be the handfuls of purpose. Let there be that heavenly manna, we beseech thee, and hear the confessions of these poor and needy souls. So relevant is that that hath been sung. O Lord, we confess it so. Turn again that captivity. Grant those soft winds of the south, we pray. The north winds having done their work. We ask, Lord, for those prevented from coming together this evening who would be here but cannot. Lord, remember them each. Afflictions attend Zion's pathway, and difficulties compound together to prevent even that their heart desires. Lord, we pray that would sanctify these things, that there might be that healing touch afforded to those laid aside through one reason or another. O Lord, we pray that thine hand might be seen in all these things. We ask, Lord, as we understand thou hast given life and preserved life, that thou wouldst remember the little family and bless them in their anxieties. Remember them in their troubles and guide them, Lord, even to the footstool of thy mercy to receive at thine hand. We do ask, Lord, that thou wouldst turn again the captivity of Zion, that thou wouldst shine upon the churches lest they die. Thou wouldst rend those hems and come down, make one in our midst. O grant, we pray, that Zion yet may be replenished with those humble suppliants seeking mercy, mercy through blood, their plea. Lord, any such that are afar off, the wanderers, Lord, we pray, Lord, that there may be those that should be found yet as prodigals returning unto their father's house. Grant prayer, grant that travailing of soul for such we pray in Zion. May yet the language be, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition that I have asked of him. We ask, Lord, for they that wantonly refuse to hearken unto thy word. Mention hath been made in the scriptures of Manasseh, and the evil that had abounded in his day. Yet, Lord, we read of him found amongst thorns, that he prayed unto the God of his fathers. Lord, is anything too hard for thee? Turn again, we pray, and have mercy upon such. Lord, where there is that mask of religion, a cloak which hides the reality of the state of the never-dying soul, we pray, Lord, oh, that such characters may be brought forth from that which seemeth right, and yet death is in the pot. Oh, Lord, we pray, thou wouldst raise up yet these that shall come forth and be found truly converted, turned unto thee. Hear prayer for our guilty land and nation. And what can we say? Lord, that which was so relevant, prevalent in the days of which the scriptures record, surely is every state and condition today. Men will not hear. Oh Lord, have mercy upon this guilty realm. Turn the hearts of men yet again unto the reality of truth. And may there be in reverence for thy name, thy day, and thy truth. Lord, we come back ere we leave the footstool of thy mercy, as thou hast enabled us to plead with thee. Lord, we come back to this, say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. Lord, we are sinners. We have come short. We continually come short. And the evening hour has to attest unto those confessions of those days, of that day's transgressions. Gracious God, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Bless us, oh bless us, Lord, with that joy and peace in believing. And may there be those times and seasons when we lay our head upon the pillow, that we know that true rest in Christ. Oh, so help us, Lord. Lead us forth by that right way. And now, Lord, oh, again we would ask, accept the tribute of our lips for the multitude of thy mercies. We would lift up our heart with our hands, Lord, as we acknowledge thy goodness. We can trace, we do trace. Oh, blessed be God, there is that evidence, Lord, that thou art working through these things. And we would, oh, humbly attest, it is indeed an answer to prayer. So go before us. Help us now as we turn to the word. O Lord, how to speak we know not. Like Jeremiah, we feel, such a babe in these things. Lord, we cannot of ourselves, but oh, we pray that was put it together, Lord. And as one dear servant of God did exclaim in years past, do thou the preaching. Lord, we ask it, seeking the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
seeking the help of the Lord, the grace of dependence upon him, we venture to a word you'll find in the 62nd Psalm, reading the 8th verse. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. David's Psalms. Inspired by God himself, evidence, spiritual life, spiritual exercise, spiritual hope. David, as we might consider a little in the context of the word, was a man subject to much affliction in one way or another. Fearful, times greatly afraid. In the very depths, in his soul's feelings, and yet he lived again and again to prove the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and to take up the language of his soul, though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. He was taught to profit those things that he endured. Grace afforded in those times of affliction enabled him to look up unto the hills from whence came his help. His help came from the Lord God of heaven and of earth. As any that would speak well of Zion's king, his very soul did exclaim of those things he had tasted. And here we have the word which he speaks unto the Jews, which he proclaims with certainty, having tasted, felt of the word of God, that God is faithful, that he is all powerful, yea, and ever gracious, to his own. And, oh, blessed be God, truths, wondrous truths, to have sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, his mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, they that would preach the gospel, oh, surely would lay hold upon such words as these, as the Spirit enables them, and speak well of Zion's King, having proved he is able to deliver in six troubles, yea, seven also, and to bring forth even from the depths, even from those deep, darksome powers, that for his glory and the sinner's benefit. Here, like unto the apostle, David would break forth and exhort, encourage these fearful, doubting souls to trust in the Lord that made heaven and earth, and that at all times, not at any particular time, but in all seasons, he exhorts that there be that trust in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Oh, look, just briefly, the few verses that surround this word as brought before us. David, he felt his weakness. He was sorely persecuted by his adversaries. Expressed in another place, a sparrow alone upon the housetop, like a partridge hunted upon the mountainsides. He felt to walk that lonely path. What many, many rose up against him, took counsel against him, delighted in lies. And he could trace even those feigned lips. They gave expression to truth and would comfort. But they were but a facade for that which lay in the heart. What resource had this man of God? Where could he fly? What refuge had he? His refuge was in God. And again, he had proved that God had been faithful to his word. There faileth not one thing. Not one word of all his good promise. Though he slay me, said another, yet will I trust in him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that put their trust in him. Now, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Look not to the power of princes. Look not to the power of man, to the arm of flesh. As difficulties arise and this lonely path is walked in. Oh, what can we say? My hope is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Trust in the Lord, in Him at all times. The Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion spake a parable, as He did on many an occasion, but in one particular time He spake as concerning humility. He exhorted this grace. And He spake in this way, as He noted, friends, is very, very significant, surely, the word. He noted, He marked it in the hearts of those that came unto that feast. He noted that there were many that sought those high places. And He spake against it. What said He, by way of parable? Give place to this man. Maybe the one who entertained would call from that high place such that had taken these things unto themselves, that another more worthier than they might fill that seat. Friends, I see something in it like this. The great I self must be dethroned. And the idols upon which the creature depends. And there's that giving place to this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the Lord's anointed. Jesus, the sinner's friend, the sinner's hope. Jesus Christ. They shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Lord, reign o'er me as King. Accomplish Thy will, and powerfully bring me forth from all ill. Give place. Oh, may faith be an exercise. Faith that looks to Christ alone, those others dethroned, what says one, long time I after idols ran, but now my God's a martyred man. Trust in Him, the Lord's anointed, the Saviour of sinners. Trust in Him, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. His promise shall stand. It shall stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Trust in Him at all times. I have upon one spirit a particular burden. I cannot express it, but that the Spirit of God may enable me to speak a little of that which the Lord has laid. I feel I must say it upon one spirit. That the Lord hath laid. And it's the courts of the Lord last evening. We gathered together for prayer, and in particular for our nation and our churches. It doth not need me to express it, but the days in which our lot is cast are exceedingly solemn. I felt to have to read from Ephesians and speak a little from that portion. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. As I left the house of God, for a reason I cannot explain, my thoughts went to the portion that we've read this evening. And in particular, the opening verses. Though Moses and Samuel stand before me, yet my mind could not be moved, could not be toward this people. The context is exceedingly solemn. Look back to the previous chapters, and we find how that the Lord hath declared, pray not for this people, pray not for them. I read the portion this morning, or last evening, at home. I felt persuaded there was something there, and yet I could not see it. But it laid with me. Though Moses, though Samuel, we read in Scripture how that Moses interceded on account of the wickedness that was wrought who by the national people of God, that Israel of old, they had sinned, they had done wickedly. Moses interceded, and God hearkened unto his cries and answered his request. Samuel also, in times of great trouble in the land, he interceded with God. He sought mercy. We find, oh, these gracious characters of old, the Lord hearkened unto their cries, attended unto their pleas. We have the word wherein Samuel speaks indeed as concerning the wickedness of the people, the terrible wickedness that had been practiced in his day, and now that the Lord had sent even in wheat harvest, the thunder, the rain, the hail, judgments against the people because of their sins. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet he exhorts them to turn again unto the Lord, and that upon the ground of covenant love and covenant mercy. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Now what does he say? Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he hath done for you. May we not relate this to the sad desolations that abound in our land and in our churches? Oh, is not the word of God's grace such? Oh, turn again from those evils. Seek the Lord with all thine heart. Remember, oh, is there not here that which strikes a chord Yea, reach it into the innermost recesses of the heart. Remember, what great things. His goodness. Oh, may it lead us unto repentance. But now, in this portion, we have an account of God's determination that Jerusalem be ruined. She'd fallen by her sin, and the people had forsaken that fountain of living waters and hewn them out, those cistern waters. And through their folly, their sins, captivity would be theirs. They must suffer for their sins. Now consider Jeremiah. His message, the Lord told him in no uncertain tones, I speak with profound reverence, though Moses, though Samuel, those worthies of old rise up, yet this people I will not favour because of their sins. Do you think it was an easy thing? Jeremiah to stand before that people and speak so. Oh, do we not read of Jeremiah's commission in those very early chapters in which is related the burden of his heart as he says, I am but a child. Yet the Lord saith unto him, say not so, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Has that judgment been passed? Must we suffer for our sins nationally and in the churches? I speak not particularly of the world, but oh, this Protestant land once so called. Our churches so dear to our hearts. Christ, oh Christ, did reign triumphant. May he return yet again in mercy. Now, though Moses and Samuel, although they intercede, yet, he says, I'm not here. But friends, we have a greater than Moses. We have a greater than Samuel. We have a divine intercessor. Do you see the connection? Oh, it was some little while before one could connect this with the word which the Lord gave us to bring before you. Trust in the Lord at all times. Upon what ground? Covenant love. Covenant mercy. Oh, let it be known, I do not this for your sakes, but for my great name's sake. Moses had to come, was it Moses, and say, Lord, what shall the heathen say? Oh, what reproof, rebuke shall they utter against the true and living God? If it had to be said, God could not bring them up out of the wilderness. We have an intercessor. One that stands between, in garments dyed with blood. And we read, as we read through that most solemn chapter, which speaks of the ruin of Jerusalem, which speaks of God's judgment, yea, against the people whom he had chosen as that nation that should honour his name. We have also that spoken concerning the safety of the dear prophet of God, who stood firm, a lone voice almost as it were, in that wilderness against those false prophets of the day that would lift up with false presumption and send forth those messages of hope which would prove to be false at last. To Jeremiah, this one reproved, this one that stood alone, this one that contended for the faith once delivered unto the saints, this one whom God has sent forth in his name, this one, he should receive of the blessings of the gospel. Friends, I looked at the word, I trembled, I said before the Lord, what is the relevance? Where is the gospel here? What can we proclaim as those unsearchable riches of Christ? Friends, man is fallen in her sin, come short of the glory of God. There's no hope in the creature. There's no strength to be afforded from princes, rulers, Egypt, or any other such place. Trust thou in the Lord, in him, at all times, all ye people. We have encouragement amidst the darkest hours here, but they that fear God, they are as the apple of his eye. And can it be the very travail of his soul shall be left to perish at last? Oh, can it be that these shall fall foul to Satan's temptations and fall at last? They are as the very apple of the eye. Now consider that. Around the eye, there is that mass of bone as a protection. There are the eyelids, which at the very evidence of any debris immediately close. There are those eyebrows, and there is that protection against the glare, excessive glare. And we're given to understand, there is at least six coverings which could be named as concerning that which protects this weakest part of our body. Friend, yet the Lord takes this up, and he expresses it in this way, that such they are unto him, even the apple of his eye. Trust in him, yea, in these times of trouble, when judgments abound. I sometimes wonder, we read these scriptures, and oh, alas, I feel many hearken not, and consider it not relevant to our day. What shall become of this nation? How shall we endure when we practice such vile abominations that take place? Is it nothing to you? Oh, does it concern you? Oh, do you think that God would wink at this iniquity and pass by? God is no respecter of persons. We cannot claim anything of ourselves. But still the word, trust in the Lord. Trust in him at all times. Where's the foundation of that trust and hope? In Christ Jesus, who came from the realms above to save sinners from their sins. The Father's eternal love, the redeeming love of Christ, his dearly beloved Son, the work of the Spirit of God,
Trust in him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at all times. Could there be a time wherein troubles rose more serious than that which is related in the chapter we've read? I feel there's no more solemn portion as regarding Israel and her sad provocation, her dealings with her God, who'd been so mindful, so compassionate unto her. There's nothing more solemn than this chapter in the book of Jeremiah, which speaks of God's judgments. And he will not hearken now to that intercession. But friend, Christ came as that intercessor, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace. That precious blood to plead the righteousness, the sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ, that avails. 'Tis he, did you not sing it? 'Tis he instead of us is seen as we approach to God. Trust in him at all times. Make place for this man. Oh, give place. Let him have the preeminence. In all things he will. I will teach thee and instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. We know not what yet may become of this sin-riddled land. We know not how soon those sore judgments may be rained down upon this guilty realm. But the sinner's safety is in Christ. He is their refuge amidst these storms that rise. Trust in him. This is the message. Trust in him, ye people, and that at all times, in all extremities, amidst all the burdens of life's pathway, amidst the difficulties that abound, a hope in Christ will stand at last, that anchor firmly fixed in the Lord and Saviour. Trust in him at all times, ye people. But there was one other thought that lay with one last evening as I turned to this word. It was this. It was concerning Jonathan, Saul's son. We know how there was much wickedness in the land at that time. Oh, was it not said as concerning Saul, when thou wast little in Israel, then God did work mightily, but there had been that departure. Sin had entered. And there was that, provoked God to anger. They were in a low state. As we read, I read it last evening, tried to think a little of it. What do we read? The Philistines. Oh, they had such an effect upon the land. There was no sharp instrument whereby even those warriors could go forth unto battle, for the Philistines deprived them of those smiths in the land. Oh, such was their low condition. You say, what the connection? Friends, it's this. It's this. The Lord brought that people there. Now, Jonathan, a lone figure, he called on his armor bearer. And this we are persuaded he asked of God as to how he might proceed. He told not his father, I believe it is recorded in Scripture, but that he went unto his God. It is evident by from the context. And they went up. They went up. And friends, that passage toward those Philistines lay through a narrow aperture. And there was a rock on the right side and a rock on the left side. It came to me in this way. Can we not say, oh, there is that of presumption, and there is that of unbelief. And this trust, for Jonathan evidenced that trust in his God. He had received the promise, he'd received that word of God, and he went forth upon that ground, the word of God that stood sure and certain. But oh, that path led through this narrow way. And friends, it is a narrow way. Trust in him at all times. Lean not to presumptuous thoughts. Lean not to those unbelieving fears. Now one says, how can you do that? I remember my father saying on one occasion, a dear servant of God said to him, try and consider the word as that grace is given ere you take those steps into the pulpit. And then leave it at the bottom of the stairs. What was he in effect saying? Rely upon thy God. Trust in him at all times. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not even to that which may have been given. Trust in the Lord at all times. Trust in him at all times, my people. And I remember my father saying, his response was this, you just tell me how to do that. Oh, we do not wish to be frivolous. But friends, it's a real exercise at times. We don't want to presume. Oh, God forbid. We fear, as dear David did, presumptuous sins. We tremble lest we should usurp that which is the right steps, which are the right steps to be taken. Oh, presumptuous sins, keep us. Keep us, said the psalmist, keep me from presumptuous sins. But on the other hand, sharp rock. Friends, these rocks, oh, they tear at times the flesh. If there's a leaning upon them in any degree, oh, experimentally, oh, these things are known. And pain it is, oh, painful to the flesh. But trust in the Lord. Trust in him. There's the message. There's the message. Trust in him at all times. Oh, people. Oh, ye people. Trust in him. Unbelieving fears. Oh, how can we be rid of them? Some may try this method. Oh, some may steep themselves in Scripture. Some may, oh, speak. Yea, that which they have learnt, even a schoolboy learns his tasks. But oh, trust in the Lord. This, oh, this is the exercise of faith. It's painful to the flesh, which is that which is profitable to the spirit. And God honors that trust. It's seeing him who is invisible. It's speaking unto him. Yea, in the exercise of prayer. And who can wield that prayer best but those feeble souls? It is speaking to him. You cannot see by the eye, the natural eye. Trust in him. This is the reality of true religion. Faith, oh, faith is the gift of God. This is the work of God, said the Lord Jesus, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Oh, does one say, oh Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, were it not for that underlying hope, the Lord faithful to his word, to his good promise, despite all our sins. Oh, were it not for this, friends, could you venture on? I know this, I couldn't take those steps into the pulpit. 'Tis alone upon his mercy, free sovereign mercy. Friends, that's not for a day. That's not for a week. That's not merely for a month. Or even a year. Scripture declares, and 'tis emphasized in the Psalms, David felt his need of it. Zion sees her need of it. His mercy, that endures forever. It's never changing. He never falters in his love. 'Tis but little we know of it. Oh, but very, very little. But oh, to have that little, even the taste of the mercy of God, that mercy, oh, so transportingly sweet, that mercy, oh, which we could not live here. Sin soon would reduce us to utter despair. Now, the psalmist here was in a position, and God had placed him there, as he sends forth his laboring servants, as they have to do business in deep waters. So, oh, so, the Lord sends forth these exercised souls, brings them out of the backside of the desert. What said the apostle? Even at that time of shipwreck, he gave thanks and took courage. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Trust in him. Yeah. This is the word of God's grace. As those two instances of scripture came to mind, I was at deep perplexity. I said to the Lord, what is the connection? I cannot see it. I cannot behold it. I couldn't see in either of them that portion with which to bring before you this evening. We trust the word of his grace until he dropped these words of our text. Trust in him at all times. O, place thy confidence. Has he spoken? Has he spoken? Friends, one word from Zion's King, sealed home by the Spirit of God. Oh, is it not that passport into glory? Cast not away. We're apt to, aren't we? Prone to. Cast not away your confidence. Oh, what does one say? If ever sheep should fall away, my poor soul would fall 1,000 times a day. If you, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair, cast not away your confidence. The times are evil. Yet the Lord hath his own, and this people, they shall show forth his praise. Beware of presumption. Beware of unbelief. Oh, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. It is he alone that can afford that grace. And grant it, offering, ever on thy captain calling, one says. Make thy worst condition known. Oh, tell him the grief of your heart. Tell him how you're riddled with unbelief. Tell him how that you long to be enabled to place your trust in him. There is the little hope. What says one? Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Trust in him in all ye people at all times. Yea, in the paths of providence, in those deeper paths of grace. Trust in him. Trust in him. He has said, and his word never faileth, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Therefore, said the dear apostle, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Trust in him. He's worthy of thy praise. He's worthy of thy trust. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby thou must be saved. Trust in him for life. Trust in him in the valley of the shadow of death. Trust him. Trust him. He will never forsake thee.
God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach next Lord's Day evening. And Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach on Saturday at our Thanksgiving services. Let us close with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. 184. Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.